Now we are. I can tell. Ooh, that may be a little too loud. Anyway, Beth will adjust us. It's good to see everybody this morning. Now, we started talking, I don't know, this may be since I changed the title to, what'd you say, Beth, part two? Of the title being God's Word. And so if you got your Bible, let's look at John 15 right quick. Now, we've already read this a couple of times, but I want to read it again because it's actually one of our key places to go. Verse 1, he says, this is Jesus talking. He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Some translations, I think it's the New Living Bible, says that the Father is the gardener. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, or you could say he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, we know that in the natural, same thing in the spirit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and what? My words abide in you. The word abide, it means to remain. It's kind of like a dwell there. You stay. You don't come in and out. You stay there. It says, and my words abide in you. Now, he says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, let's look at Proverbs 4. We should all have this one memorized. Y'all didn't say nothing. We should all have Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, memorized. Why? It is very, very important. He says here, starting in verse 20, he says, my son, attend to what? My spirit, my church, my people. What's that mean, attend to? It means pay attention, right? He says, attend to my words. He says, consent and submit to my sayings. Well, that's the Amplified. Let me read it like y'all are. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. That would be my words, my teachings, my sayings. He says, let them not depart from where? It is very important to keep the word of God before your eyes. Because, see, you can quote it, but how many knows after years of just quoting it and you ain't laid your eyes on it, you can start misquoting it wrong. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. He says, keep them in the midst of where? Not your head. It's going to get to your head first, but it's got to go from your head down into your heart if the word of God is going to bring any fruit. He says, for they are what? Life. They're eternal life, and they are life here now. Jesus said in John 10, he said, I am come that they may have life, talking about us, and life more abundantly. One translation says, to the full till it overflows. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It's complete life. He says, unto who? Y'all sleep? Those that find them. Everybody's not going to find them, Sandy. Anybody can pick up this book and read this book, but how many knows not everybody's going to find those words? And not everybody's going to let those words dwell and abide on the inside of them. So you got to be seeking, right? Jesus said, if you seek, you'll what? If you knock, right? Everyone that asks what? How many knows everybody's not seeking? You may be Christian, but that don't mean you're a seeker. And only the seekers are the ones that finds. And he says here, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them. And what? It doesn't say health to your spirit. It says his words, his teachings, his sayings, says they are health to all of our flesh. In the Hebrew, when you look that word up, it says medicine. That's how come you've heard your pastor say before, if you're on medication or whatever, when you take your natural medicine, you take your spiritual medicine along with it. You take the word of God. And we have seen people here, just like the guy that's got it, y'all have heard him before. I think, what was his arm cut off on this side to the elbow? He lived across the road over there where David and Kimberly live. come from Katrina down there and moved up here. And by the time before he left here, God had removed him. He had, his doctor had taken him off of 6 different medicines that he was on when he moved here. Why? He heard the word, and he done the word. He took the word of the medicine along with his medicine and kept going back to the doctor, and the doctor kept saying, well, you don't need this one anymore. You don't need this one anymore. What done that? The word of God put in his heart, kept before his eyes, and coming out his mouth brought fruit. Therefore, he no longer needed the natural medicine anymore. God's word is true. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Now, we looked at this last week too, but I want to look at it again. Faith comes how? Hearing what? Any word? No. You look that up, it says the word of the Christos. Some words bring doubt. Some words bring fear. Some words bring unbelief. 1 Peter 1:18, he says, for much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him to believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Now, being is a present tense. In your spirit, if you've been born again, you're already born again. Your spirit man over there, when it says in Corinthians 5:17, that behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new, is in your spirit. Now, you have to take the word of God and renew your mind with it, and it says, then you will live a transformed life. Right? He says here, being born again, and then we know once we leave here, our bodies are going to be glorified and all that. He says, being born again. But notice, he says, not of corruptible seed. He says, but of incorruptible. By what? The word of God. So the word of God is incorruptible seed, it says, which liveth and abideth forever. I looked up the word incorruptible. It says not capable of being corrupted morally, not subject to decay. In other words, it never grows old, it never wears out, it never becomes obsolete. It never goes out of style or becomes old or obsolete or irrelevant. You'll hear people today, you know, you try to minister to them, or even if they're a Christian, and bring the word to them, what the word says, and they say, well, I know the word says that, but that's irrelevant to my situation. How many knows? That's a lie. This word is relevant to every situation. The method may change, but the word never changes. Jesus said, I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not, right? So the word never changes. Why? Jesus is the word. Now, let's look at, let me just quote these. Put that up right quick, Beth, please. Hebrews 4:12. We won't turn over there for time's sake. It says, for the word of God, notice it, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, you ever cut your fingernail, what you call in the quick? Man, you know it's alive, don't you? That's what it's talking about there. The word of God is like that. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words I speak unto you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. Whenever the enemy came and he tempted Jesus, what is that, Luke 4 over there, in the wilderness when he had been fasting 40 days and nights, what did he do? He come and he tempted him. What did Jesus do? Everything Satan tempted him with, Jesus come back with the written word from Deuteronomy over there. I believe the first one may have been Deuteronomy 8:3. And then he goes on and he says, man shall not live by bread alone. What's he talking about? Natural food. This physical body has to have natural biscuits or spinach or whatever it is that you eat to survive. But your spirit man, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you find life. He said, but I am the way, I am the truth. He said, and I am the life. Right? Our life is found in him, and he is the word. You cannot separate him. Do you understand he wasn't Jesus? Before he became Jesus, he wasn't Jesus. He only became, come down here and became Jesus because we needed him to become Jesus. There's places that you'll read, like, what is it? I'm thinking now, Acts 10:38, how God anointed who? Jesus, talking about the man. How God anointed Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and all that were oppressed of the devil, right? So he's talking about the anointed man. Do you understand? If you're born again today, you are the anointed man. You are the anointed woman. Anointed for what? To do the exact same thing. But he says there in Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one of my words shall pass away. Not one I, not one cross of the T, not one. Not one of his words will even fall to the ground. Jesus is the living, breathing word of God wrapped in flesh as a man. He only became Jesus because we needed him to. Look at John 1. I think I was in John and left John. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning, when? In the beginning was what? The Word. It says, and the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made, it doesn't say by the Word, by Him. Because Him and the Word are the same. You see that? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, and then it goes on and it starts talking about John. Will you go over there to Genesis chapter 1? Let's just go over there. It'll take us but just a second here. It says, in the beginning, well, now we know that God, I've told you this before, God makes the movie and watches it inside of himself, and then he backs up and he starts time. That's exactly how God knows everything that's going to happen. What's the Bible say? The end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to end up before he ever gets started. Why? He's done made the movie. Do y'all know that whenever they make movies, that's exactly how they make them? They don't start a movie and then it just ends up however it ends up in the storyline, you know, especially those that's got episodes. I mean, some of them you can watch for weeks, every day. Well, what they done was they figured out how they wanted it to end, then they backed it up and they started the movie, and everything they do, say, every actor, everything has to come to that end result. That's exactly the way that God has done it. So here he's starting time and he says, in the beginning God did what? He created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That would be the Holy Spirit. And God said, what? God spoke a word. The Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God, right? He says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is exactly how everything came to be. God, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, God doesn't just use his words for communication. When God speaks something, God creates something. The Bible says over in Romans, I believe it's chapter 4, that God himself calls things that be not as though they were. What I mean by that, y'all remember the story about Gideon, right? God didn't say, hey, Chicken Little, scared of your own shadow, I got a job for you. What did God say when he spoke to him? He called him a mighty man of valor. He was not a mighty man of valor, Sandy. He was a Chicken Little, scared of his own shadow. God told him to go tear down the altars to the false gods and all. He went and did it at night so nobody could see him. He was so scared. But what did he become? a mighty man of God. Why? God spoke that he's a mighty man of God. What has God called us? He says we are more, not just a conqueror. Do you understand a conqueror means I'm going to whoop your tail? More than a conqueror means I'm going to whoop your tail and then I'm going to make you eat it for the rest of your life. Y'all not saying nothing. That's good to me. You know why? Because when I was lost, I ain't been nobody's punk. Y'all know what I'm saying by that, right? Well, I decided once I've got born again and I read the word and the Bible says Jesus has already defeated the devil. The Bible says that he stripped him of all power, made a show of him openly, and now he's given me the same power, the Bible says, right? If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead abides within me and you, right? He'll quicken or make alive our mortal bodies. So therefore, I don't have to be spiritually no punk for the devil. But there's some people that they are. They don't like to admit it. Y'all ever heard Joyce Meyer say this? She said that one time she was complaining and all that stuff, and God told her, said, Joyce, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful. But you can't be both. I choose to be powerful. Not in my own strength. You must choose to be powerful. Because you know what pitiful is? It tells me about all your bills. It tells me about all your problems. It tells me about all... Y'all remember a few weeks ago? Just to let y'all in on something. Y'all probably didn't even think nothing about it. Scotty was up here and he's talking about something. And he said, I know how Teresa feels because I hear it all the time, every day. Y'all don't even remember that, do you? I do. I'm telling you, when he said that, that tried to hurt my feelings and tried to offend me, Dee. But you know what I done? Nope. I thought in on the inside of myself, I thought, I didn't know I'd been slipping like that. Because that's slipping. You hear me? That's slipping. He should never know how I feel because I say. So I told the Lord, I said, okay, God, I've been slipping there. I'm sorry, I did not realize it. I said, he will never again, Dee, know how I feel because I said it. And that's been a few weeks ago, and you can ask him, he can't tell you how I feel right now. Why? I can be powerful or I can be pitiful because I want to be pitiful and tell him how I feel. I want people to feel sorry for me to know what my bills are. I want people to, let me tell you something. When we went through all of that 2007, the last part of 2007, 8 and 9, we told nobody. Mama even got mad later or upset later when she heard the testimony of what we had been through and how God worked it out. She said, why did you not tell me? I don't need to tell you. Because see, every person, every born-again believer, you are going to come to a place after a place after a place after a place. Why? Because this never ends till he comes or we leave here. You're going to come to place after place in your life, lie, place after place in your body, place after place in your thinking, place after place in your finances, to where it's going to be on the inside of you. God puts his finger on it, and you come to the point to where either he's God and he supplies or he don't. And if I take that stand on the word of God that he is my supply, I don't ask nobody for nothing. Why? Because if my faith and trust in him, based on his word, if he can't do it, I don't want it. But you're going to have to come to that place. Just like we was talking about something, I think yesterday or whatever, and I told him, I said, all that means is, because see, I done been to doctor after doctor after doctor, neurologist, specialist, blah, blah, blah. They found out about the thymine deficiency, you know, that was causing, they say, the ataxia where I'm jerking and can't walk and I'm thinking all that stuff. But Sandy, their symptoms still there, so that's not it. Now, I don't go around telling people about that. Why? They don't need to know. Number one, I am none of your business or the devil's, and I'm not going to put words in my mouth coming out of my mouth for the devil to use against me. He is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, day and night. And I told Scotty, I said, all that means is either Jesus is my healer or he's not, because they can't nobody else help me. Y'all get what I'm telling you? But you're going to come to points in your life to where you're going to have to take a stand on God's word. It cannot be then. God's word says this, but. It could not be for us. God's word says he supply all of my needs, but I need to go tell my mama. You ain't got it yet. that word's not abiding in you yet. Just like when you're saying something and you say, if God does, you ain't got it yet. See, some people have the idea, if I can say it enough, it'll be it. But that's not what the word says. The word says, if you believe it and you say it. See, when I believe something, Johnny, it's true to me. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, or that's in there. That's true. I got something I'm working on right now. I got a lot of stuff I'm working on right now. And I'm not going to tell y'all about that. That ain't none of your business. Listen, God, I don't like to tell y'all these things. I don't like to tell y'all about my failures. I don't like to tell y'all about my victories. Why? Number one, I'm a private person, and I ain't none of your business. But a lot of times, God will have people tell their testimonies and even their failures. Why? So you don't go the same way. And if we did make it in some way, you can see how we made it, and you can do the same thing. And you can make it too. Faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, John 1 there, he's talking about the deity. And he says in Revelation 19, 11 through 13, but we're not going to take the time to read that. It says he's got a name written on his side, and he's talking about Jesus. He's riding the horse, and he says he's got a name written on his side. And his name says, the Word of God. Why? Because that's who he is. Hebrews 11. Let's look at that right quick. I'm trying to hurry because I got something I want to get to today. All of this has just really been foundation. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm about to sweat. It is getting hot in here. It could just be me. He says, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. God doesn't use his words for communication alone. He uses them for creation. Do you understand? That's why the Bible says we'll be judged for every idle, useless, vain words out of our mouth. So something that did not have God, creative power on the inside of it. The Bible says we're speaking spirits created in the image and likeness of God. Our words, the Bible says, carry life and death in them. Right? But he says the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Some people, you hear them say, well, God made the world out of nothing. No, he didn't. It says right there. It was without form and it was without void, but it didn't say it was made outside of nothing. Number one, it was made by faith. God's faith in his words spoken out of his mouth created everything that you see. Now, that's Romans 4:17, where God calls things that be not as though they were. Since we're here in Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 1. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or you could say the Word, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now see what he just said? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all that stuff. And it says, and nothing was made without him, but everything was made by him. And then he says here, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. By who? By the Word. Jesus is what we call him. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. But notice that. It says all things are upheld by the word of his power. Do you realize what that means? Why don't you tell us how fast light's moving? Because I forget. Did y'all hear that? Light is expanding in the universe, out there in the great unknown, the darkness. Is expanding what? 186,000 miles per second from the time God said, light be. Lord, help us that we're not dull of hearing. His word out of his mouth, Sandy, is still bringing forth light in the darkness at 186,000 miles per second. I'm 51 years old. So for 51 years of my life, it's been bringing forth 186,000 miles per second light out there in the darkness. And it will continue doing that until this earth is gone. Off of one word. God is an awesome God. He is, I want to say amazing, but I don't want to get into what the people call magical and all that, or mysterious, you know. People say, well, God moves in mysterious ways. No, he don't. Mm-mm. Not to the seeker. He says things are not hidden from us, they're hidden for us for a means of revelation. Right? But notice that. By the word of his power, that light is still going out into the darkness. Do you realize there's things that God has said about us as believers in this word, and we may look like Gideon? But God doesn't call us Gideon. God doesn't call us Chicken Little. God doesn't call us cowards. God calls us what he has created us, even though you might not look like it yet. But on the inside of you, you really are. Now, he says there it's all upheld by the word of his power. In Jeremiah 1, verse 12, in the Amplified, God told Jeremiah, it said that he, God, is alert and active, watching over his word to perform it. One place he says, not one word of God returns unto me void. Why? Because when God spoke it, that's exactly what it's going to be. He says he watches over his word to perform it. God's word in mine and your mouth, when spoken in faith, has the same power and the same effect as when God himself speaks it. Let's look at, let's read this first. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Maybe we'll have time to get to that other one in just a minute. I don't think sometimes we realize and understand how powerful God's word is. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now notice that the wicked. He says, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, that's not us, right? We're not the wicked. If we've been born again, the Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, and however long we walk with him, we have some of his thoughts. All of our thoughts may not be his thoughts yet, or his thoughts may not be all of ours yet, but we're headed that way. Now, notice what he says here. Verse 8. He says, for my thoughts, talking about the wicked, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, talking about fruit, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it to do. Do you realize how awesome that is? It's another parallel of the natural. If you're going to have crops, you got to have rain. This right here is a book of seed. This whole book. 66 books, I don't know how many chapters for the whole Bible or whatever. But this whole thing is seed. Seed, or you could say words, are containers for thoughts. So I can be thinking a thought, But I portray it to you and let you know what I'm thinking, and it can create something in you, Sandy, when I speak it. Why? Because my words are containing my thoughts, and that's what God's saying here. Now, we're not the wicked, therefore we can think his thoughts, right? This is his thoughts. I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. I got to stay in line. Let's look at Luke 1, I think. Yeah. Now, I told you, God's word coming out of our mouth, or anybody that's born again, will create and do and accomplish the same thing that it does when it comes out of his. And we're going to see it here. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now notice this. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel. Now notice this. Excuse me. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's not in unbelief asking this question. She knows how kids get here, and that's never happened. That's all she's saying, right? Because we're going to see somebody else that asked kind of the same thing, a little different, but was unbelief. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he goes on and he tells her about Elizabeth, her cousin, and all that. Now look at let's see. What is that, 5? Somebody wrote that one down wrong. Over here. Let's see, 57. No, I must have wrote that down wrong. But anyway, I'll just tell y'all the story. Maybe y'all know where it's at whenever I tell you anyway. I think it's right in here somewhere, but I could have wrote these verses down wrong. Now, how did Mary conceive Jesus? We just read it. Gabriel, he said, I stand in the presence of the Lord at all times. The angel Gabriel. Gabriel got the word of the Lord, came down here, spoke it to Mary, and then Mary told him at the end, she said, Be it done unto me according to thy word. Now, she didn't get that directly from God. She got it through Gabriel the angel. A lot of things that you get, you don't get it directly from God himself, but you get it from other people. You get it from reading the Bible. You get it from hearing preaching, all different places. But what she done was, she took him by faith at his word, and bam, Jesus became, right? Then you got this guy over here, Elizabeth's husband. His name is Zechariah, and it's right in here somewhere, but I think I wrote the verses down wrong. Over here. Did you say something? 5? Oh, maybe I just didn't look down far enough then. What is it, 1? Yeah. Anyway, for time's sake, we're just going to tell you the story. April's went and told you where you can find it, go back and read it or whatever. But anyway, Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband. Mary and Elizabeth, they were cousins or whatever. And they had no kids. Well, Zechariah, he's a priest, so he was in there doing his priestly duties, you know, and all of that and everything, and taking a long time. There's people out there. And the angel comes and tells him the same thing. Your wife Elizabeth, she's going to have a child. Y'all going to call his name John and this, that, and another, you know. And then he asked him, What's going to be the sign that I know for sure this is going to happen? Not a lick of faith in what he said, but total, stark raving unbelief. Why? If you believe, you don't need a sign. The word is all the evidence that you need to believe. It shall be exactly. And that's what Elizabeth said. How am I gonna know this will happen? You know, because she knows how kids comes. But then she tells the angel, be it done unto me according to your word. Well, Zechariah wants a sign. Give me a sign to know that this is going to come to pass. Y'all remember what he does? He says, okay, you want a sign? I'm going to shut your mouth up until after this kid is born. Now I'm paraphrasing. And one of the reasons why God would do that is because this has to come to pass exactly the way God has said it. And there is life and death in the power of our tongue. So he can't say nothing. People ask him questions. He can't talk. He can't say nothing. He can't say nothing until this kid is born. And they ask, okay, what you going to name him? And Elizabeth says, John. And they say, ain't nobody in your family named John. We can't name him John. Then Zechariah asks for a writing tablet. And he writes down John. And when he writes down John, there's the faith in that his tongue is released and now he can talk. See, there's times sometimes you need to just shut up. There's times I need to just shut up. Well, like I told you earlier about the how I feel. Because see, the devil in the flesh, I heard some people talking the other day and they was talking about their ailments to each other. And in my thinking, my mind says, well, I got this problem. You know, sometimes we don't notice it, but we're trying to top everybody else's ailments and see which one's ailments is bigger. Y'all not saying nothing. Maybe I'm just the only one that does this. Maybe I'm just the only one that has these thoughts. But anyway, they was talking about some ailments that they have and everything. And I almost opened my mouth and started saying, well, you know, mine does this and this and this and this. And I thought, because I've been in the Word, I'm like, no. Not judging them, but I can't get in that. This is one conversation is not for me. Why? Because I'm speaking it the way that it's supposed to be. I'm going to speak it according to the Word of God. And I don't need to top your ailments. And I don't need you to feeling sorry for me. See, I can tell you how I feel and what I go through and all this and what my needs are and all that and get you feeling sorry for me because I need you to pray for me. I don't need you to pray for me. You don't need to tell me your stuff for me to pray for you. See, some people have this idea. Let's start a prayer chain on Facebook. Oh, good Lord. Everybody don't know how to pray. But the thinking is, if I can get enough people praying, God will answer. But the reality and the truth of that is, God has already answered. You get the book of seed and find the word on it, honey, and you go plant you some seed, and then you water it with your mouth, and then it'll bring you a harvest. Because see, that puts something on me, D. That means I got to do something. Why? Jesus already did it all. It is finished. What part of that don't we understand? Ain't that what that means? Finished? Don't that mean finished? Okay, he's did his part. I have my part to play in this. He said not one. He watches over his word to perform. If I plant the seed on finances, if I plant the seed, I get in there and I get my little concordance out or my phone where I've downloaded a Strong's Concordance and I get the word out here and I go across the word that it says, you shall lend and not borrow. I make you the head and not the tail. You'll lend and you'll not borrow. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Running together. Shaking together. Shall men give unto your bosom. If I do all these, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, which is an empowerment to prosper, makes rich and adds no sorrow. In other words, three jobs don't increase it. That's unbelief. I got to get some extra hours. You know, our light bill's higher since we had that Alaskan winter there for 3 or 4 days. I better work a couple more hours. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? I don't need to work a couple more hours. I need to put the seed in and water it with my mouth and let it bring me a harvest just like God said that it would. He said he watches over that word to perform it. Ain't no way you can put the word of God in your heart and water it out of your mouth and let time go by and it not bring a harvest like God says. Either he's a liar or he's not. And I pick he's not. I've done seen way too much. Right now, that's going to cost you something. That's going to cost you to have to walk by faith and not by sight. Why? I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all. I can tell you now. Because I'm already seeing results. Because start with it ain't none of your business. And I don't want y'all's words on it. If they're not right. I have always, all my life, had thick hair. Now, my hair ain't been this long probably since I was, what, 6 or 7? You know, something like that. Well, anyway, almost a year ago to the day, it was at Aiden's birthday party. Mama said, your hair looks thinner than it used to. I said, yeah, probably because I straightened it away. Well, I got to noticing in the shower, my hair was coming out. You know, you scrub and all that and everything, you know. And I thought, it's long, splitting off or whatever, you know. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, over this year, since she said my hair was getting a little bit thicker, my hair's been coming out in wads in my hand. I'm not talking about 2 or 3. I'm talking about a lot. And then I noticed, I was looking right here, and I thought, what is that? That's my scalp. I've never seen my scalp before. And I started hearing, if you're losing your hair. Now I'm seeing I'm losing my hair, D. It's in my hand. And I do it like that, and I'm watching it while it goes down the drain there, and then I have to use some Drano to unstop the bathtub or whatever. So I know that it's happening. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell Scotty or nobody. I didn't want to lose my hair. Could you imagine what I would look like bald? Johnny, you got a head for it, man. You can wear it good. I don't have a head for bald. God has every one of my hairs numbered. I know I'm supposed to have them. So I started saying out of my mouth, thank you, Lord. My hair is thick and getting thicker, and I don't lose them one. Now, the first 2 days, and I said that all day long, every time I would think about it, every time I would see myself in the mirror or what, and I'm not trying to say it enough so it'll come to pass. I'm believing it in my heart, and I'm watering it with my words out of my mouth. I am affirming and reaffirming the word that I planted, that my hair is thick, getting thicker, and I don't lose one because I believe it's the will of God that I have hair on my head. The first 2 days that I said that out of my mouth, every time I said that, I felt a little weird. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? I guess y'all don't say nothing. Why would it feel weird? Because I'm not used to saying that. Out my mouth, thank you, Lord, my hair's thick and getting thicker, and I don't lose one. But after 2 days, you know what happened? I see my hair getting thicker, even though I look in the mirror and I see it right there, my scalp. I do like this, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, my hair's thick and getting thicker. Now, Sandy, after those 2 days, it don't matter what I see. It don't matter what I feel. Because on the inside of here, and when it comes out of my mouth, I believe it. And I can tell you now, I'm not seeing as much scalp. And that ain't been very long either. And I'm not seeing much hair come out. Why? Because I don't lose a one. You got to stop coming out. Why? If I believe it in my heart, if I abide in Him and His words abide in me, I will ask what I will and it shall be done unto me, right? He says, take no thought, what? There's the key. See, I get up. Sometimes I have this sharp pain in my hip. And I go, I'm feeling it feels like an ice pick stab you right there sometimes. Well, before I would get up, and I would say, I don't know what in the world's the matter with me. Right there, I'm telling you, my heel. Y'all not saying nothing. And after Scotty said that, I thought, you will never again hear how I feel. Why? Because I feel it, I have the thought, and I say it. I feel it, I have the thought, and I say it. I feel it, I have the thought, and I say it. So what am I going to get? More of what I believe and I'm saying and feeling. So what do I got to do? I'm going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. By sight is 5 physical senses. It don't matter if it's sight or hearing or physical touching or something. It's the 5 physical senses is what he's saying we don't walk or live by. We walk and live by what? Faith. Faith. What is faith? Trust in God. See, if you've walked with him any length of time at all, you have a certain degree of trust, but he wants more. Y'all not saying nothing. He wants more. And I've got to stop because time is up. Gosh, we didn't get to a quarter of that. We're still on foundation stuff. But anyway, we will get it. We have to let Monty do his and then come back to it or whatever. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to say or whatever before we close? Oh, go ahead, Johnny.